This meeting is being recorded.
Good morning, I'm Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Today, I'm so pleased to have a colleague on my show, Mr. Jeff Israely, who is the co-founder editor of WorldCrunch.com. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Darrell.
So let's get started. Before we jump into World Crunch, let's talk about your education background and experience and how you came about to launch World Crunch.
Well, I'm American born and raised, and have been in the news business my whole career. The first part of it in California, in Oakland, California, in Alameda County, California. And ended up abroad for love brought me abroad. I met my future wife in California, and she's from Rome, Italy. And so I ended up leaving my job at the newspaper in Oakland, California, the Oakland Tribune, and set up shop in Rome and worked for American news organizations in Rome. And then Paris for the Associated Press, and then for Time Magazine for 10 years in Rome and Paris. And, you know, worked as a correspondent, a bureau chief, and, you know, did what foreign correspondents have done for decades, for a century, writing stories about you know, foreign lands and foreign topics and foreign people for an American audience, for a global audience. Was a reporter for about 20 years. And then started up World Crunch in 2011. So it's been 11 years, more than 11 years now. And happy to tell you that story too.
Absolutely. So what prompted you to leave the comfort of being a foreign correspondent to launch a new aggregated service such as World Crunch?
Well, back then at the end of the first decade of this century was a time then, as it is now, where our industry, the news industry, was in full transformation in the good and the bad and in between because of the big factor that is changing so much of our lives because of the internet. That the way news was delivered and the business models around it when we were in the analog days of, you know, for me as a print reporter was, you know, newspapers and print magazines. And then with the arrival of the internet and by 2010, it was clear that the news industry was in full transformation and crisis. And the idea of World Crunch is actually taken from print magazines originally in France and in Italy that I got to know being here. I'm in Paris now. I've been over here in Europe for more than 20 years. And these magazines are weekly magazines, weekly news magazines that for the past 20 years or so have the way they deliver the news is by finding stories in all different languages and then translating them and adapting them into the language of their readers. So into Italian for the magazine Internazionale in Rome, and into French for Courrier Internationale, which is this French weekly. And so I had gotten to know this model for delivering news, and it seemed like an opportunity to do the same, but into English. And what was different at the time we launched compared to when they launched was that we were gonna do it just online. And so World Crunch is a digital, you know, we call it a digital magazine, a digital news outlet that essentially selects stories, finds news in all different languages, and brings it into English for an English readership.
And the significance of what World Crunch does, it takes content in its native language and translates it into English without losing the local cultural flavors. Is that correct?
Exactly. Well, we think that there's real value in getting stories, first of all, you know, just reported stories that are being reported and written for newspapers all around the world that report the news, that tell stories, that analyze events. And it's an efficient way to get stories from all over the world. Mm-hmm. But it's also unique because we do, as you say, we get the local, the national point of view on a particular story happening in that country, or it could be that country's point of view on something happening in the world in general. And we translate, and what we say is we also adapt the story for an international reader. So that means, you know, maybe explaining certain things that for a local reader are understood. And so we smooth out all the rough edges and make it accessible for a global reader while maintaining the voice and the point of view of the place where and the person who wrote it.
Wow, that's excellent. And so how would you describe the mission of World Crunch?
Well, I mean, I think the mission to start with is a mission similar to other news organizations. We want to tell stories, recount the world, get our facts straight, teach things, open people's eyes to what's happening around the world, keep people informed, also entertain, tell interesting stories, new stories. But what's unique about us is that we think that there's a real value and a real appetite and audience for a news service that thinks internationally and that covers the world in an international way. And it's not just if you're an American, it's not your American correspondent parachuting in and telling a story for the Americans and in the American interest. We think that there are more and more readers all around the world who look at the world and at themselves in a more international way because the world is ever more connected, because their own experiences may have brought them to or from another country. And so we really want to tell the story of the world as it's happening in real time, but with an international point of view.
Wow. And how many countries are you gathering articles, news stories from?
Well, we're looking all around the world, all the countries in the world. We tap into partnerships that we have with newspapers and directly with journalists who are covering the whole world. So it can be any country. And we have partnerships with newspapers here in Europe and in Asia and in Africa and Latin America. And so we're working. We're potentially can work with any newspaper or any journalist around the world with whom we obtain the licensing rights to be able to translate their stories. And then we have our own team of translators and editors and journalists who select the stories, who find the stories, and then translate them and edit them for an English audience.
And so I'm very curious as to the editorial philosophy and how do you decide, what stories go on World Crunch, which stories don't?
Yep. Sure. Well, I mean, in some ways we're driven by the news. So it's what's happening in the world. You can imagine over the past almost 9 months now, I have a lot of coverage of the war in Ukraine where we're finding stories from Ukrainian news outlets, from Russian news outlets, but also from news outlets here in Europe who have their war correspondents on the ground there. But more generally, what we're looking for interesting stories, no matter where they are. But we're also looking for stories that cross borders, that sort of connect the dots and tell the story of a smaller and smaller world where things have relevance. Something happening in a small town in Bulgaria could be interesting for someone in Argentina or in Chicago or in Alaska because the story is relevant to them. And so we're looking to have that mix. And we do stories across all topics. We're a general news outlet. But we're looking for those stories that describe the global world in which we live.
And how does someone become a correspondent's the right word or contributor? What is that process like? Because there's a lot of folks out there, unfortunately, over the years, have been laid off because of what was going on in the industry.
Well, we work with people with all different kinds of backgrounds and skill sets. Mm-hmm. Obviously, journalists. Typically, journalists who have at least one other language besides English, so that they can. They can find stories in other languages and translate them or edit them or rewrite them, because we also, in addition to the sort of direct translation stories that we do, we also write our own stories that are where the information is pulled in from different languages. So again, our starting point is to look at what's being written and what's being reported in all the languages and all the credible news outlets around the world. And so, journalists who have language skills, multiple languages, editors, translators. We work with some people who really come from a translation background. And so, it may be that our editorial team finds the stories and then ships them out to a translator who will translate it and send it back in. So we work with freelancers. We have a core team here in Paris, but we work with freelancers all around the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm always happy to receive inquiries from prospective contributors. Happy if you want to share my contacts because our team is growing, and happy to be in touch with folks.
And to that point, I believe your email address is jeff@worldcrunch.com, correct?
That's right. Jeff, J-E-F-F at worldcrunch.com. Yep.
Nice and easy. Yeah. All right. And so you had mentioned a few of the very nice news organizations that you work with. Can you give us a feel for the great organizations that World Crunch is working with?
Sure. Well, we have ongoing partnerships with about 40 news organizations around the world. For example, here in Europe, here in France, we work with Les Echos, and we've worked with Le Monde and Le Figaro in the past, and we're working with Die Welt in Germany and La Stampa in Italy. In Asia, we work with The Initium, which is a Mandarin language news outlet that operates freely around the world, doing stories about China and the Chinese diaspora around the world, a very interesting news organization covering China. We work with Kommersant and Proekt in Russia and Livy Bereg in Ukraine. Latin America, we work with El Espectador in Colombia and Clarín in Argentina. And just a Jeune Afrique in which covers Africa, a French language magazine. And work with, we're contacting more and more, we contact journalists directly when we find their stories and get the okay from them to be able to get their stories into English.
I'm sure they love that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I think, you know, for journalists, you know, journalists are, they're in some cases have to sweat and struggle to make a living. And so we're aware of that. But they, you know, first and foremost, want to get their stories out there read by as wide an audience as possible. And their stories are limited by the readership in the language in which they publish. And so when we get it into English, it multiplies the readership exponentially, not only for, you know, Americans and British and Canadians and people in English-speaking countries, but so many more people around the world have English as a second language and get a lot of their news in English. And so So the journalists are happy to get their stories out there to a wider audience.
Very nice. And so when you think about World Crunch started back in 2011, and how large is the corpus of articles in the whole corpus of World Crunch?
Well, our archives, we recently dug back and counted, tallied up our archives, are around 20,000 articles that we've produced over those years. And it's a weekly rhythm about 45 features each week. We've recently actually launched a digital PDF formatted weekly magazine as well, which features some of our top stories put together into a weekly digital magazine. We're not chasing after the latest breaking news all the time. That's not our approach. We're more of a magazine which has analysis and reportage and feature stories.
Very nice. And this magazine, this is part of the subscription. You have a B2B subscription, but you also have a B2C subscription model as well, right?
Yeah. Yes, we're integrating the magazine, the digital magazine into our paid subscription offer. And that will, you know, will arrive on Thursday nights, or I guess US time, Thursday afternoon. Is when it hits the digital presses.
Very nice, very nice. Thanks. And who do you think is the best audience for World Crunch?
I really think that it's anyone who sees themselves as, you know, you hear the term a global citizen or a citizen of the world. Which, you know, is doesn't necessarily mean that you live in a different country or that you're, from a binational family or that you travel, that you're a business traveler. You could have even never yet left your country, but you want to, and you know that your life and your experience and your future is connected with the rest of the world. And if you have that awareness and that curiosity, then I think you'd find World Crunch interesting.
You know, interesting. I teach professional sales at Seton Hall, and I've been teaching that since 2009, and I've always have stress the importance of understanding what's going on in other countries from a cultural standpoint, from a business standpoint. And I attended a webinar the other day. Someone's trying to sell professors, you know, a new service. But that was a main thing that they had of for the sales professional to truly understand the international scope of the business and the culture and all that's going on. And that's where I think that WorldCrunch brings so much value. So I guess it screams that the public libraries and the academic libraries would be prime customers for WorldCrunch.
I think so. I think, remember my university experience, and it was the first time I really encountered people from other countries. Universities are necessarily international places. Libraries, public libraries are international places. It's where you go to discover the world. It's where people discover that there is a world out there. I think that it's really a natural fit for what we've been doing for the past 11 years, that we're a way in to what's happening elsewhere. And I think more and more people understand, as you said, in whatever context you're in, you know, if you're a business person and you don't even have clients elsewhere in the world, you need to know what's happening in your industry elsewhere in the world, what customers are looking for, what factors, what supply chains, and all those sorts of things. It's there's an understanding that the future is only going to get more and more global, you know, and you know, we've seen in politics, we've seen a sort of a backlash over the past even decade, let's say, to globalization. That word has come to take on this kind of negative connotation. And there's plenty of discussions to have about that and how this process should take place in a way that's just and smart. And in the general interest of any country or town or the world in general, we need to think hard about how it happens, right. But it's going to keep happening. There's really no unwinding that. The only scenarios for truly unwinding it aren't pretty scenarios. So I think the conversation about globalization in all its forms is one that's changing, and rightly so, has a critical eye as well. But I don't think that in any way changes the reality that the world, because of communication, because of technology, because of the opportunity to travel, is only going to get more and more connected. You know, we can look back on these past few years of with the pandemic and when the world was suddenly shut down. And I don't think anyone thought it meant borders were literally shut down, and it was shocking. And we couldn't imagine something like that happening. And because of technology, the world was able to still stay connected because of digital technology, internet technology. And frankly, once the borders opened up, business resumed, supply chains resumed, tourism resumed, things will change, but that desire to go out and seek out in the rest of the world is probably innate to us humans, and now made more and more possible by all of the progress that we've talked about.
I mean, so WorldCrunch is really bringing the world together by educating the world community about what's going on in each individual country. Recently, you also have this great video service, What Happened Today in History. Tell us about that, and how does that fit within to the WorldCrunch vision?
Sure. Well, this, yeah, we just launched it at the beginning of this month, and it's a video, one video per day, a short video, you know, less than 1 minute, where we've selected one event that happened on that day in history, and a photograph, an iconic photograph that captures that event, and make a video. We've created this format where we explore the details of the photograph and tell the story of what happened on that day in history through this single photograph. And so this, you know, and when we, you know, have mapped out the 365 days of the year and the 365 historical events and the photos that go with them, for us, it was global history. It was what happened in history around the world that had an impact on the whole world. And so it's a way, yeah, to remind us that that the world is connected, and that they, and you know, and to tap into the interest that people have to learn new things about what's happening today and in the past.
You know, recently you presented a video at the Charleston premieres, the Charleston Conference in Charleston, South Carolina. You were in Paris. I was the MC for the event. And unfortunately, you couldn't see the reaction of the audience. And one of my good friends, Judy Luther, who is a consultant, she didn't know that, you know, you know, World Crunch was a client of mine. But she looked over at me and she goes, and I saw the heads and the audience like bobbing, you know, as a nod of approval. Has World Crunch won any awards for any articles that you might have done over the last 11 years?
Well, we won a few years back. We won a digital innovation award for the website and for the new model, the way we cover the world. For better or for worse, since we're translating, you know, most of our best pieces are these translated stories. So all the glory goes to the writers in the original language, who are award-winning journalists in their own countries. And so it's, What we're after really is finding the best that's out there around the world and making it accessible, because so much great journalism is produced every day in so many different languages. There's also plenty of not great journalism being produced in all languages every day. And so part of our job, you know, I don't know if there are awards for that, but part of our job is selecting the good from the bad. Right. And so that's what we're busy doing every day.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we're coming down to the wire, to the end of our interview, and I'd like to give you the last word. What would you like to share with our audience that you want them to know about World Crunch and what might be next?
Well, we're really excited about the possibility of really multiplying our readership with the students and the professors at universities and with the members of public libraries, because we really think that it's a natural fit, and so it really, you know, our mission is to make great journalism accessible. And we do that, our job is to do it by finding these stories and getting them into English. And then, you know, maybe the harder part is getting it out, to making sure then our product reaches the people. And so we're busy on that. You know, we've got a great team also on the business side, who's expanding, you know, our reach and our audience, and we're growing, and so it's an exciting time for us now, and yeah, happy to share the progress as it comes.
Well, we're going to have you back on. Jeff, thank you for coming on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Mr. Jeff Israely, the co-founder and editor of WorldCrunch.com. Jeff, thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you, Darrell.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up this week on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Have a great weekend, but remember, leadership begins with you.